Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, this is really exciting. We're meeting the famous Coco Moco.
Thank you.
She is fabulous. Coco's a marketing professional with such a solid background in entertainment and digital media. And I know you've seen her on TikTok. I have. And YouTube. She analyzes internet phenomenon and trends. And Coco has a podcast as well. It's called Ahead of the Curve with Coco Moco. And she dives into all these topics weekly, like what trends are going viral in 2024, all about predictions and insights into digital media. And this is going to be such a great chat because we're going to talk a little bit about how aesthetics is evolving and changing, and then just how to be a boss girl, what's new in marketing, and all the things you guys need to know about trend forecasting.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. I'm such a fan too.
Oh, thank you. It's fun to meet someone online on TikTok or on the gram and then meet them in person. Yeah. It's almost surreal, right?
It is. Yeah. Sometimes it's like people say I'm like a lot more talkative in person than they think I'd be, because I think I'm more quiet online, but it's fun to see how they are in person.
I love your reserved voice online, and she's like a talking head video where she's holding her microphone, and she says, say your little intro.
Yeah, the tagline that people will like come up to me and they recognize me and say it, but it's, hi, I'm Coco Moco. I work in media, and I've made a career off of accurately predicting trends and rising stars. And that's like the intro.
That's amazing. And I think that little credentialing statement really set you aside and branded you.
Thank you. It set you apart
from the crowd.
Yeah, I know. I sometimes it's like a dice roll. Some people love it, some people hate it, but the numbers don't lie. Like whenever I say it in a video, it converts so many followers compared to the same exact video, similar, but if I don't say it. So I think people like when, if you say an intro, they're like, okay, this is who they are. This is what I can expect from them. Mm-hmm. Let me follow along.
The psychology of like telling them your authoritativeness or your, you know, your background, because they actually don't know who you are. So yeah. I need to start doing that. I need to be like, I'm Dr. K. Durayraj and I'm a facial plastic surgeon, right?
Yeah, try it in a few videos. I also think because at least like now, once you get a bigger audience, it's not as much, but people see hundreds of videos on their feed a day. Mm-hmm. And so it's like nice to have someone introduce themselves, because then it just feels more familiar and memorable.
Do you think you're much more active on TikTok or Instagram? Do you have a preference these days?
I'm definitely more active on TikTok just because it's like so easy to film there. But on Instagram, I've been more active this month because I'm just doing a challenge where I try to post a photo every single day on my feed. And it's been like a creative muscle that I'm working that I haven't worked in a long time.
Good. What'd you call your challenge? You gave it a name.
Yeah, it's the 2010s Instagram challenge. And my followers have been posting along too. And it's where the rules are like, you're real for the day. Like that can't count. And it has to be something that is just one photo, something that made you happy that day, or a selfie. And like not
a
to care.
A still photo, not a story.
And right. Not just a reel. Still photo. Yeah. Okay. And not like a photo dump that like took a bunch of effort, because those photo dumps are so hard. Like people make them look effortless, but they're not. So just bringing back kind of the old selfie days of Instagram, the feeling good, just documenting what makes you happy.
Old school Instagram.
Old school, yeah.
I love that. I think Instagram has become harder and harder to grow and slightly more frustrating to creators, just because it feels very curated and it has to be very rehearsed and perfect.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of TikTok. It's just laugh, have fun, and scroll, 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 and nothing really matters. Like,
right.
And if something sticks, you're going to dive deep on that page. And,
Yeah. I think the beauty of TikTok specifically is like, there's obviously its flaws, but with TikTok, no one really cares about your flop. So, like, people look at videos on the For You page. So, if they're seeing your video, it's because it's already gotten good views. And the people that watch videos on their following, they're usually like the really loyal fans. So they're the ones that don't care how many views you get. They're going to comment and support no matter what.
That's so true. Are you finding that TikTok is just blowing people up in an effort to get more TikTok shoppers?
Oh my gosh. TikTok Shop is so fascinating, the way they push videos that have TikTok Shop linked to it. Yeah, I actually did an experiment with TikTok Shop where I posted a video. It was like one of my normal 3-minute talking videos, and I linked out the microphone that I was using, and I don't even mention the microphone until like 2 minutes into the video. And it jumped to like 900,000 views the same day. Wow. And it didn't have super like high engagement. So I mean, it had engagement, but I think it was like the algorithm saw that there was a chance for them to make commission off my link. And so they pushed the video, and then the microphone actually like sold out the next day.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it worked, but
it really does work. It's kind of interesting what they're driving us to do though, as a culture, like they're really driving shopping. They're really driving live streaming. Have you tried live streaming?
Yeah, I do live streaming every now and then. Live streaming is a little more dicey. I have a few like more public figure clients that I'm like, don't go live. Like, there's a few people that I'm like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to go live. I don't know, a little bit of a loose cannon. But for any time I have lived, it does help like the recent videos that you post. Like, I don't know for sure. TikTok's never confirmed it, but sometimes I'll post a video, and if I really want it to perform well, like if it's a branded deal, if you go live for like the 30 minutes you're live, your most recent video gets like pushed in the algorithm.
Interesting. Okay, we're going to have to try some TikTok live. We've done Instagram live, and then that's been pretty successful too.
Yeah. Do you just like answer questions that people are asking, or?
I'll do like a live injection demo and I'll talk my way through it, and then someone will read me the questions as they come in.
Wow.
And it's crazy that people see this from all over the planet, like Japan and India and China, everywhere. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think live streaming is, I always say it's like more about companionship. So even if the phone's just like propped up in the corner of the room and you're not acknowledging it, like people just like feeling like they're in the room. Sometimes I get sucked into like watching these live streams where, there's one where it's like a bar in like Ohio and they just like put their phone in the corner of the room and I'm like, really? Like if I'm not going out that night and it comes up on my feed, I'll watch a few minutes, and it's just interesting.
That's just
to
fun
see.
To just be a bug on the wall. Yeah, like sitting at a cafe and just absorbing what's going on around you. I should do that. We'll leave the phone in the corner and just film as people come in. There's so much fun and excitement in aesthetics.
Yeah. And there's like such a cool visual to aesthetics, like a before and after, or like the facials are really visual.
How do you do your research for trend forecasting?
Yeah, so I think of my research and kind of like what, when I do like the consulting side of my job, so much of it is just listening. Like for me, a lot of the research is truly just spending time on the platforms. Mm-hmm. And like, since it's my job, like my screen time is so high, but say I spend like 5 hours on TikTok, like my clients are paying me because maybe they don't have 5 hours to spend on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it comes from that. And if I'm getting a lot more technical, like looking on like Google Trends, there's like websites. You can even go on, Google has their new kind of version of ChatGPT called Google Bard, and you can ask it questions like, what's the top three categories that people are searching on Google about plastic surgery, and they'll give you like the three top procedures that people are searching that month or something.
Nice. So you get to incorporate a little AI into your efforts.
Gives it you like the data to back up what you're hearing online.
And then how are you predicting what's going to really go viral from those trends? Because it seems like that's the pathway to success. You come out with a new product. There's so many products out there that unless you make a viral video, you're really not going to have a chance of success.
Yeah, it really is like such an attention economy. So much of it is like, one, every account and like person is different. So really thinking about one person, their account might go more viral when they do 30-second videos. Someone might go more viral when they do 3-minute videos. So it's really just like per each person. But I actually, it sounds counterintuitive, but if I want a campaign to go viral, I'll actually try to tune out every other account in that niche. Like if I'm consulting, say, for like a company that sells strawberries, hypothetically, I don't want to look at any other food vendor TikToks because then you're subconsciously just going to kind of mimic them.
Totally.
But what you can do is look at how people are going viral in completely different niches. Mm-hmm. So like maybe I'll look at, if I'm trying to give advice to a strawberry company, maybe I'll look at like a viral shoe campaign that happened last month, mm-hmm. and be like, how can you take that campaign but now make it for food? Mm-hmm. So I try to look at how other niches are going viral and then bring it to whatever the company is that wants to find their stride.
That's pretty brilliant, because I think when you're in an industry, you get caught up in looking at your competition, and then there's the fear of missing out, that you're not doing the trends they're doing, and then you just fall into the same old content that everybody's making.
Right, and like if someone's already in your niche and making a certain kind of content, you can copy them like word for word, but you probably aren't going to convert followers even if you go viral, because they're like, well, I already follow the original.
Yeah.
So like really just bringing your own flavor to it is important.
That has been challenging for us. I feel like we started early on in aesthetics doing a lot of social media and being kind of an industry pioneer, wearing pink gloves. And now everyone wears pink gloves. Back in the day, I was the only one. And, you know, doing time-lapse videos and things that maybe you've seen our page. But I'm trying to think of myself, too. Like, how do I innovate? How do I change? What is going to be more meaningful to the viewer right now? Do you have any ideas what the viewer is craving?
Yeah, I think, one, just any kind of job like this, because so many people are lonely and are working from home now in a lot of industries. So, again, like, having, like, a live stream, I think, is cool, as long as, like, the community, clients are okay,
like,
with
building
it.
Building community.
Yeah, like, I think people want to, like, voyeuristically be in an office, but they don't want to actually drive there. So
true.
I think giving them that feeling, too, would really help stand out. And, yeah, just, I think, like, living, you know, work with me for an hour Monday mornings or something, and
that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yes.
If you get advice from Coco, we should do that. What do you not like about what you're seeing on TikTok right now? If there's anything.
Yeah, honestly, there's two things that come to mind. One, I would say it's funny because I report on trends, but I teach them more in a way of like, you know, pay attention to trends. So maybe you can do the opposite or give people something that they're missing. But there's an emphasis on like aesthetics and cores, like cottagecore or, and I think whenever like I'm reporting on trends, I never try to use vocabulary like aesthetic or core, because it implies that the person has to like completely change who they are. Like they have to go out and buy new clothes, new this, new that. Mm-hmm. I try to lean more into like, here's a makeup technique, or here's like a way to film technique that might be. So I'm not big on like the idea of cores, because I think it's telling people that they have to like overconsume to change themselves. And then one other thing about like TikTok specifically, I just made a video on that I think is really fascinating and sad, but like there's a growing concern around like the search bar suggestions on TikTok. I don't know if you've ever like seen a viral video and then at the top it'll be like da da da, like and there's just there's a lot of conversations happening right now about how the search bar is kind of seen as an authority, and sometimes it'll like maybe spread misinformation or things like that. So that's something I'm keeping my eye on about TikTok, that I think is maybe a part of the platform they just have to develop a little better. But
and maybe they're intentionally pushing their search the direction they want it to go.
Right.
It's interesting. Yeah, I think that whole clean girl aesthetic put a lot of pressure on women and girls to be a certain way and not think that they could show their face on the gram or TikTok unless they had a clean girl aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So it was such a like an hour long of makeup application to look like you spent no time to look unmade up.
Yeah, and there's so many intersectional layers to it where maybe like you know, like a white woman like myself could easily be like, oh, I'm going for the clean girl aesthetic, where someone else might be penalized at work by being like, you're not putting yourself together, like why aren't you wearing your hair a certain way? So I think there's a lot of layers to the conversations around aesthetics and cores as well.
Why do people crave these kind of trends? Is it just to seek meaningful inclusion that now I want to put on my mob wife aesthetic.
Yes. No.
Why am I so drawn to that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think it's like an immediate ability to be a part of a group, mm-hmm. and you can just do it through the way that you look. I think also just the wanting to go viral. I think mm-hmm. like core and aesthetic is a buzzword, and so people, it's kind of like the fast fashion of mm-hmm. Of trending and influencing culture is by leaning into these things. And yeah, I think it is just that more so people want to be a part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you ride the trend and you get to feel like you're like one of the crowd mm-hmm. that's doing this fun stuff.
Yeah.
On your podcast, have you got a special way of choosing your topics that you're going to talk about? What's timely or who you're going to invite on there?
Yeah. For me, a lot of the times it'll be if I make a video that week on TikTok that goes really viral and there's a lot of like good questions about it and stuff, I'm like, oh, I feel like I could probably talk about this for like 30 plus minutes. So I'll do that. And then in terms of guests, I've been not doing as many guests just because I noticed, like, for some reason my solo episodes do really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be a trend in terms of the podcasting realm, is we're going to see kind of the rise of like solo podcasts. I think for so long it's been co-host or mm-hmm. Needing to have like tons of guests, but really loving the solo episodes. And then in terms of like when I do have guests on, if someone comes up on my For You page that I think is really interesting and could grow and like have more of an audience, I like to get them on my podcast first. So then like when they start growing online and people look up more information about them, my interview like surfaces at the top. So that's kind of one way I do it as well.
That's a great strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of your viral forecast mm-hmm. for 2024, can you talk about some of those? You did a mm-hmm. whole podcast or actually also a TikTok on what you were predicting.
Yes.
What are some of those predictions?
Yeah, for 2024, I think that we are going to see someone go viral. This is more in like the fashion realm. And I guess I've kind of like, I've been like anticipating this for a while now, but I think that we're going to see a creator go viral who wears like the same outfit over and over again and sees how many events they can wear it to, red carpets, is a way to kind of like send the message as well that people don't always have to like constantly be buying things. I think that'll be an interesting thing that we'll see, and goes along with like people becoming more aware of how social media pushes trends. And
it's almost like you can make the trend happen if mm-hmm. you talk about the trend. Isn't that so interesting? Because yeah. I've noticed in our practice when I start saying this is what's hot and this is what you need to be doing, like we can create a trend.
Yeah, so much of trends is like manufactured in that way, I think usually accidentally. And I actually, there was an article recently, I'm not sure if it's coming out yet, but I was talking to the journalist where they're using the word like viralflation, and it's where they've actually seen companies and people go viral for an idea before it's even viral, but they'll be like, did you hear about this viral bread recipe? And even if that recipe
isn't even viral yet,
but putting the word viral in front of it makes people be like, oh yeah. Yeah, it is. It's like I think audiences are getting smarter and they're like, wait, that's not actually viral.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that talking about things, and I think sometimes it also just happens on accident. Like you mm-hmm. are reporting on something and then it becomes a bigger trend.
Mm-hmm. I think when you predict a forecast and mm-hmm. you know, you put the idea in people's heads and then they see it in a few places and then it just takes on a life of its own.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Like I always say, for me, I'm the coach, not the player. Like I love talking about trends, and my favorite part of it is seeing like the brilliant creators or people who then make videos and kind of bring my idea to life in a way that I couldn't have.
Okay, so do you have some creators who you follow who you absolutely got to check in on them every day and they just really inspire you?
Yeah, there's there's one creator who, if you make videos, no matter like your industry, I think should be following right now. Her name's Justine's Camera Roll. Mm. And me and my friend recently made a video on her, and she's really transparent about documenting, like, I want to be an influencer, like, here's how many followers I want by the end of the month, and how to edit videos. Like, her editing is someone who has edited in my career for like 5+ years. Her editing is like out of this world, and she teaches. So Justine's Camera Roll is someone that I will always like refresh her page to see.
Just see how she's doing, what she's doing. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I followed her already because of what you told me.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm glad you followed. Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Any others or mentors or marketing geniuses that you think are great?
Someone like behind the scenes, though, just someone that mentored me was his name was Evan Britton, and he's the one who founded the website Famous Birthdays. It's like a kind of kiddie website. It was where I used to work, but he's behind the scenes. He's like not like a influencer or anything, but he just the way he spoke about social media taught me everything I know. He's like, doesn't matter about ads, doesn't matter about like, if the user is not enjoying the video, you failed. Like you, like you have to think about the user first. So.
What are some trends in how we will appeal, you know, more to users or people who are watching these videos? Because you know, everyone's attention span is so fast these days. It's hard to get a message across. They say that your initial view of a video, you'd make a judgment within the first 2 seconds if you're going to like or dislike the video.
Yeah. One way to capture people's attention is, and then like my kind of what I think we're going to see happen in this year on social media, but putting text on screen or some sort of context where someone can form a thoughtful enough opinion and comment, even if they don't watch the entire video, that's always so important because I guarantee, like, when you post a video and if it's going viral, the people that are commenting, I noticed this on my viral videos, say the video's like 3 minutes long, people will be leaving thoughtful comments and the video's only been up for like 30 seconds, which means they haven't seen the full video, but they just saw like the text on screen and they had something that they wanted to add. So if you're making videos, trying to do it in a way that people can already give a thoughtful response without having to see it all. And then another one is, not everyone loves this prediction, but it's something I stand by, is just like longer videos, like on TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like TikTok loves up to 10-minute videos now.
Yes. And I think when I've posted videos that are over 3 minutes, something that helps the video perform well is I'll actually put text on screen for the first few seconds saying like video is like 5 minutes long or something.
Oh, okay.
And I think people, that transparency actually makes them want to like watch. And I think that people are just craving, I call it short form fatigue. I think scrolling takes so much mental energy. And I, like, I know for me when I'm scrolling on TikTok, if I'm about to, like, it sounds bad that I'm on my phone, but I always say, I'm like, it's part of my job. If I need to like brush my teeth or something and I just happen to be on my phone, like if I scroll and I find a video that's like 3 minutes long, that's interesting, I'm like, perfect. Put my phone down, brush my teeth while I watch. I love that way more than having to scroll every 10.
It's like a mini podcast.
Yeah.
Still counts as education, right? I actually learned so much on TikTok this year.
Me too.
All different sectors, things that I maybe wouldn't have studied, but learned quick little tidbits. So
yeah, I agree. I think with TikTok, I love it because you can learn about things you would have never thought to search.
Yes.
Like it surfaces ideas that I would have never put in like my Google or YouTube search bar.
Yeah, it broadens your horizons a bit. Okay, so in terms of fashion, we think the idea of reusing, like less same consumerism. And then in terms of music, any predictions? I know you had a Billie Eilish prediction.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was, I think too... Oh, yeah, Billie maybe getting an EGOT or setting herself up for an EGOT. That'll take years, but...
Okay, tell the audience what's an EGOT.
Yeah, so Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Okay.
I believe the youngest person to ever get one, they're like 39, so
it's... You have to get all four?
Yes, okay. That's how you get an EGOT. And she currently has an Oscar for the Bond soundtrack and Grammys. So she has Emmy and Tony left. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see Billie Eilish announce in the next year or so that she's going to do a Broadway play in New York City.
I would love that. Mm-hmm, yeah.
To go for the Tony.
Yeah, she totally should.
Yeah.
Elton John and Billie.
Right. That would be so good. Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about Taylor Swift for our Swifties?
Yes. One of my predictions for Taylor Swift is that maybe this is me just like hoping it'll happen, trying to manifest, but Beyonce going on her Reputation re-release.
Wow. Yeah. Or vice versa.
But yeah, them doing something together. I think Beyonce going on Taylor Swift's Reputation re-release would be like a full circle moment, because the catalyst for the Reputation album was around what happened with Kanye coming on stage, and mm-hmm. that same night at the VMAs, Beyonce came on stage and then invited Taylor Swift up to finish her speech. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be a full circle moment if then Beyonce came on to one of her songs.
That would be beautiful, mm-hmm. wouldn't it? That'd be an amazing night. Yeah, any thoughts about Taylor in general getting married? Or
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like she's so unpredictable in that way. But it's been cool to see this crossover of, like, the NFL.
Very cool.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever seen, like, the NFL embrace a pop star that way. Maybe, I think Carrie Underwood sang their theme song or something. But it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually see more intentional branding where like NBA or NFL players are encouraged to date pop stars.
Yeah.
As a way for the
cross-publicity.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if after seeing the success of Taylor and Travis, if we see the industries kind of trying to manufacture mm-hmm. that in some ways.
Yeah, put more entertainment mm-hmm. right there in the spotlight versus just sitting in the bleachers on the sidelines.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great. What did you think of the comedian who kind of dissed Barbie and dissed Taylor Swift at the Golden, was it the Golden Globes?
Joe Coy. Yeah, my thing was like, I don't know, for some of these award shows and the comedic bits, like my expectations were already kind of low. Like I was just like, eh. Like I just didn't expect it to be a TED Talk. Like I was just like, yeah, like I think the award shows are kind of known for like poking fun at people. And, mm-hmm. And I just wasn't, I wasn't like that surprised. I was like, yeah. They want it to go viral. So, you know, part of his paycheck is saying things knowing that he's going to be a punching bag after and maybe bombing on purpose. I don't know.
That's true. I didn't think of that. We were just like so full of hatred for him, like undermining these women's success.
Right. No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a little bit like, really? You're going to go there when you have so many other things you could joke about? Yeah. Like talk about politics.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of a low ball hit.
Yeah. I think sometimes they know that unfortunately the low balls are what gets views.
That's so true.
Because now we're talking about it. So it's like, there you know, you maybe go. That was his goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we talked about fashion, talked mm-hmm. a little bit about music. And what about aesthetics? What do you see trending like on our side of the situation? The trend for big lips, the overfilled look, mm-hmm. that definitely is changing. But what do you see from your perspective?
Yeah. It's something that you actually mentioned when we were getting ready to film, which I had never thought about that, but I think is so fascinating, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like using AI or like computer generated images to mm-hmm. maybe show people what their potential results could be before going forward with the procedures and like showing them all the options. Is that
that's definitely what it something is? We can do mm-hmm. and we take those photos and we can morph the images, and that's really awesome technology. That's been around for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always really careful because we wouldn't want someone to go under the knife thinking they're going to exactly wake up like that, because mm-hmm. you really just can't guarantee that. And in some cases, they want a feature that would look very unusual on them. Like, okay, mm-hmm. I want Michael Jackson's nose. Well, that might be too small for your face, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really fascinating. I could also see it translating into maybe their being more like apps or filters where people are doing it on their own time and then wanting to come in and, like, you know, seeking out a professional to get that result. Maybe, like, in the past, you know, I don't think, like, the average person would know how to use Photoshop or figure that out, but maybe there'll be technology that comes around so they know what to ask for when they go to a professional. That's really interesting. In terms of fillers and stuff, I mean, I'm honestly not sure. I know a lot of people have been getting, trying to go for, like, a more natural look. Is that something you've been seeing?
Definitely. I mean, in our office, most of our patients want to stay really supernatural. And the people who want the really big lips, they're out there, but we don't encourage, like, overfilling ever. So we're all about facial balancing and making sure the proportions look right and things that, you know, don't look overdone. It shouldn't look like you're at a cocktail party and you're talking to someone, you're staring at their lips. Like, you know, you want to stare deep into their eyes. Right? So we encourage our patients to stay really natural. So we're kind of seeing a little shift away from a lot of filler, which people did a lot after the pandemic when they didn't feel that attractive. They'd been home, they hadn't been maintaining. They
looking in their Zoom, maybe, yes, like
Zoom. Zoom has definitely been a factor and still is. And so maybe trend to a little earlier surgery, facelift tightening instead of filling, collagen stimulating, like turning on natural collagen reserves. That's a great trend. And like just the whole idea of biohacking your beauty, like turning on the cells' inner powers to behave more youthfully.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So I think those are all really great forecasts for us. Instagram wise, I don't want people to tire of our industry because it's probably so easy to scroll a lot and see all this before and after. Who do you trust? How do you know it's not Photoshopped? So I think maybe more storytelling is going to be very useful to show someone's entire journey from start to finish.
Yeah, I love that because it's probably like in your industry, it can probably feel like low-hanging fruit or like some people probably lean into like trying to have an extreme or dramatic before and after that almost feels like instantaneous because that's what might be viral, but like maybe not always best practices. I feel like that's probably something that happens in like the medical field that's on even like TikTok is like the extreme results that people probably sometimes peddle, even if it might not always be the best.
The right way to do it. So I think always baby steps, subtlety. You can't go wrong with doing things gradually versus very overly dramatic. But but it's interesting because the people who you know, influence us a lot on social media are people like the Kardashians. Like our big butts out now. Now we're down to smaller butts. Now we've all lost weight with Ozempic. And so we're all more slender. And so it's a different aesthetic this year. And coming up, I see.
And I think, like, for me, just reporting on trends, like, the thesis always feels counterintuitive, but I'm, like, always just more so try to be, like, more of who you already are. Like, the moment you can tell that you're shifting into being, like, well, I want to be the next Ice Spice. Like, Ice Spice already exists. Try to be the, like, just if you feel like you're in a rut, like, how do you become more of the parts of yourself that you already like? Like, that's always the best way to do it.
That's such a hard question.
I know.
That's a good advice, though. If you really sit and think about that, that's probably the way to truth.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, trends always swing, and sometimes two trends exist at the same time. So what I notice is a lot of people will be like, well, you know, I like knitting, for example, but that's not popular right now. And I'm like, that's okay. Become the best knitter so that in 6 months when knitting is the next big trend, like, you're the perfect person in the perfect position to hold that platform.
Exactly. Well, it's so fascinating that you're building a whole career based on this trend predictions. So are you getting clients from everyone from big companies to small entrepreneurs?
It's been like such a great thing. When I started posting my videos, I was doing it for like my corporate job, but I never really thought like it was just what I did, and I didn't think other people would find it as interesting as I did. And then the moment I started making videos about it, it just like took off, and I was like, oh, people are actually interested. And yeah, it's become honestly like so much of my money luckily has come from behind the scenes consulting. Honestly, I was surprised by how many like celebrities and stuff reach out because I look to them for the trends, but I think the ones that are really smart and stay in the public eye do that because they get a lot of perspectives from everyone and they know how to mm-hmm. reach out to different people so that they're not just an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. So I think that was who I was like really surprised by were reaching out, but it's been great.
That's the thing. You have to stay ahead of the trend yeah. to be in the news, like to mm-hmm. be like the one to watch.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah. It's hard to do without like losing yourself or your ethics. I think that's always like, I mm-hmm. always try to preach. I'm like, even if you're not the most viral person, that's okay. Like,
yeah,
just, you know, like the audiences will eventually find you if you're just yeah, being yourself.
I love that wholesomeness. That's mm-hmm. such a good ethical yeah. way of talking about this topic.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to go off the handle and just try to be the popular one.
Yeah. And it can get really like, you know, over consumery quickly talking about trends. So I try to mm-hmm. like stay away from that as much as I can.
Some of your best videos, I think, are the ones where you showcase a person mm-hmm. and why they are successful because of the way they portray themselves and what they're doing and how their video is taking off. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. The forensics of it.
Yes, the forensics. And yeah, I love doing those videos. And I've even had either people from the videos reach out, or one of the, like, my favorite comments that I get is people will be like, I'll know I've made it when Coco Moco makes a video, like, analyzing my success one day. And I'm like, oh I'd love to hear that.
That is awesome. Well, mm-hmm. I wish you so much more success. I'm so excited to have met you in person, that you came in. We definitely have to stay in touch. Yes. And where can people find you on all your social handles?
Yeah, it's just at Coco Moco, wherever you guys, whatever socials you prefer. And the podcast, Ahead of the Curve with Coco Moco, on podcast platforms and YouTube.
Amazing. And that's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my social media. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find all of our amazing skincare. And I'm going to send you home with some real fun goodies to try.
I'm so excited. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. And say it one more time. Do your I'm Coco Moco. Okay.
I'll say it as I'm saying goodbye. Goodbye, you guys. I'm Coco Moco, and I made a career off of accurately predicting rising stars and trends.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Signing off from here. Love you guys. Bye. Stay beautiful.